Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 9 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. So announcements this week. I would say we had some announcements this week. We definitely we had a casting announcement early in the week. We had, is it Leary?
Lyra.
Yeah. She was cast. Leg Hair was cast. Nell Hudson. She has a very short bio, at least in the film world.
Did they tell you how old she was?
They don't.
We're not able to find her age. No. I could have sworn where she was from and approximately her age. But in prepping for this episode, I was not able to find it. If indeed I had found it, I was unable to find it again.
Well, I've never found it, so. But the only thing that we have is that she graduated from the Oxford School of Drama in 2012.
So she's probably quite
She's had
quite
some
young.
Guest leads in some British medical or British series, I believe. But this will be her first major TV series. So welcome, Nell, to the Outlander family.
And I have to say, there was some, I don't want to call it fantasy casting, maybe nightmare casting, because no one really adores this character. I had seen or heard someone jokingly cast for the role of Lyra, the person of Nell, or Nellie from Little House on the Prairie. And it was actually quite apt.
Well, they're both blonde.
It is funny that this girl's name is Nell. So that's just a little funny.
And then, yes. I guess the much larger announcement.
Yes, and then. Let me just say, before we say what happened, you all know what happened. We're not fooling anyone. But before we say the words, let me just say, I was not supposed to be home last night. I just decided to stay home and change my engagement, and something happened.
You can't just say something happened. That's very vague.
The thing happened.
The thing happened?
Okay, take us back to the first teaser.
Well, I don't even know that I got the first teaser. The first teaser I got was that you were still here.
What was the first teaser was the Twitter account for Stars PR.
They said they had something on their desk that was going to break the internet.
Yes. And I thought, that's a little, that's definitely teasy. That's, who knows? But we've been teased by so many people, namely Sam. But we've been teased so much. And what have we gotten from teases? We've gotten
horses.
A horse. We've gotten shadows. We've gotten a dog, maybe one day. I don't know. We've gotten a lot of cute things, but silliness. And so by this point,
aggressively cute things, because the way you did that cute was very aggressive.
There's a little tinge in there. Yes, cute things, but
make her angry. Apparently,
very not angry. Just let's go on. So cute things, but not what we, of course, hoped for. And to be honest. It was not on my radar. Yes, I would have liked it, but my mind did not even go there. I thought, they're never going to do it. Maybe like in, let's say the show premieres in the summer, whenever it happens. It's like in April.
This is true, but as we've all been seeing the pictures,
well,
escaping from set.
Yes,
so
that's true.
They were not going to be able to keep,
it
a secret for that much longer, because once he started filming his scenes, people were going to take pictures.
That's true. And that actually,
so I think they're trying to get out ahead of the game.
Maybe they would have released some pictures of Katrina and
Frank.
Tobias.
Oh, yeah. Tobias. Well, sorry, they're characters.
I guess
they're not
it could
real
be
people
that
anymore.
Way. Okay, Claire and Frank, or Katrina and Frank. Now you got me doing it, girl. Katrina and Tobias in character. Maybe they would have let that out. Who knows? Maybe not. Maybe they expected something to get out. I don't know. But we will always have to wonder, once they closed that, whether it was a week later, 2 weeks later, or 4 months later, if we would have seen any of those shots or something like that. So I think you're right that after what happened with some of those shots from the set, which is either from photographers, from people, from certain mobile equipment companies, And is there anything else we can throw in there? I think there's one more that I'm forgetting. Anyway, different sources who supplied these pictures of the set, settings, characters, etc. Maybe they wanted to beat anyone to it. That's
scooped
what I mean.
On their own project. I mean, that's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. A scoop is a scoop, right? It's right. Something. But Lord Almighty.
Well, when we got the first teaser email or text, excuse me, tweet. They do not text us. But however, Stars PR,
yes, Stars,
like
if you
us,
want to text us.
I'll be happy to give you my cell phone number.
Just email us. You've got our deets.
Anyway, when I got the first tweet, I believe that my exact words were, it better be Jamie in a kilt.
I think I said, there's no way. I wanted it, but I thought, there's no way. To me, it's still, they just started filming this month. Yes, it's been almost a month or so. I just could not believe that we would get that treat that soon.
Let's paint the picture for you.
But after horses and dogs and shadows, I'm sorry, Stars. You did good, but we deserve something like that.
Right. I need to paint this picture.
Oh, no,
so
wait.
So we get all the...
Hold on. Wait. Where are you going?
Just wait. We get all of these
Tell
teaser,
me. Wait.
These
you teaser. Have to warn wait, me. Or you're going to embarrass me.
Just let me paint my picture.
Okay.
No talking. It's going to be really hard for her. She likes to talk. Okay.
Oh, shush,
so she's sitting at her desk...
Oh, Lord.
With the computer open. And she asks me if I have my tweet notifications on. And I'm like, yeah, no, I got my tweet notifications.
Oh, for the pic?
Yeah. She's like, because it's coming. It's going to come. We don't know when, but it's coming. I'm like, okay. So I see her at the computer. I'm like, okay, well, do you have Facebook open? And she says, yes. I said, well, do you have your Twitter account open? She goes, yes. I'm like, you have everything open, so you're ready to post it when it comes in. So we have it ready to go. And she's like, yes. So then it comes in.
Well, wait. Before it comes in, I was about to stop you in case you forgot it. So we had the original teaser.
Right.
And then Outlander Stars gave a tease.
About the smoke erupting from their office.
No, that was one of the Stars execs, which, yeah, that was very funny. Or I think I said something like, you promise? But no, I think Outlander Stars, either it was the message they sent with the image, or I thought they gave a teaser before. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So then my phone goes off.
Oh.
And I see the notification, and I can see there's a link in it. So I hurry and open it up. And as I open it up, I hear crying.
Yeah, that's
coming from
a
the
little
other room,
a ish.
Crying, like almost moaning, sobbing.
Not sobbing. There was a little bit of.
It was high pitched. It was whiny. It was.
Yes,
oh my God.
That's true. It wasn't saying moaning because that has the wrong connotation. But it was,
oh my God.
I was like, somebody, I don't know if I can handle this. Oh my God.
So she comes and crying.
But again, making the face, ugly cry face, don't get me wrong, but like two tears. My eyes were moist. My eyes were getting teary, but I was not sobbing.
You're missing the point. The point is she wasn't posting.
Oh,
she
yeah?
She was crying, not posting.
Tell them what you told me.
So she comes in. And she just keeps telling me, I'm just so overcome.
Summer, I can't stand it.
Right, and I'm like, why did you post? Why haven't you posted? And she's like, I think I'm going to cry. And I'm like, cry later, post now.
No, you said, maybe you said that, but I remember it as, go post now, you can cry later.
Which is virtually the same thing.
But the order, I thought, was kind of funny. You're like, I don't give a rat's about your crying, therefore I'm going to talk about it last.
I'm like, the crying can stay, but I mean, the picture's
you
not going
You can cry
anywhere,
for the next 3 years. So,
and then I actually got to take some time to look at the photo. Because
here she is trying to say, did you post? And I'm like, no, what is it? I can't handle it, Summer. We haven't actually discussed the picture.
Yeah, we never talked about it. We talked about the picture, I think,
she
maybe
was just
later,
like, post, damn you, post.
I'm like, let's focus.
Oh, gosh.
I'm like, we'll talk about the picture later.
Which is kind of the whole point, but forget about it.
But the picture.
Sweet Jeezy Boozy in a handbasket.
I mean, I'm impressed. I would never have thought I would be let down by anything
no,
Stars
I did not
doing
expect
because of
it.
How
that
well
never,
they've done everything yeah. so far. But good God, man.
This is, I guess that was your reaction. I want a little bit more play-by-play. So my reaction was like this. No. I mean, I want you to give yours. But this was basically mine in a nutshell. So after the little whatever happened, and I still had the ugly cry face with like one tear coming down, I go back to my computer and I sit down to actually try and do the posting or whatever. Meanwhile, trying to actually look at it, although I had gotten a quick glance. So as it was loading on the page, I didn't know, you know, does something load from the middle, from the top, from the bottom? I didn't know where to look first. What was it going to be? And the first thing I saw, I knew it was a man. I could tell that. But the first thing I saw was some male in front of a background of yellow brown. And I realized, oh my gosh, it's outdoors. It's hay. And then I realized, of course, this man was Jamie. And I went, wait, no kilt. Yes, kilt. Oh, holy crap. So I'm thinking color and brown and hay and Jamie and kilt. I truly didn't know what I was going to get. I did not think we're going to get a kilted Jamie. I really didn't.
I should hope so. He pretty much wears the kilt the whole book.
No, I don't mean we're never going to get a kilted Jamie.
If you're going to get a picture of Jamie, he's going to have a kilt on.
I was not convinced we were going to get a picture of Jamie last night. As much as they pimped it, for lack of a better word. So when I looked at it, but as the picture opened, it was really, really like, almost like time stood still. I looked at it for a moment and the past 14 years kind of gave me a stomach punch. And I said, that's our Jamie. Because I didn't see Sam. I didn't see his hair. I didn't see the costume. I didn't see the set. I saw Jamie, and it was in a very good way. It was a little freaky, but it was very nice. Okay, that's mine. What's yours?
Well, I feel like I'm having mine right now. But I may, in fact, use him as my background on my tablet.
There you go.
So conventionally, I would say his shirt's a little big.
Oh, yeah.
If you went by conventional shirt measures, I would...
You mean by modern?
Yes, by modern shirts.
Standards? Yeah, but this...
I just mean where the shoulder seam hits.
Usually the shoulder seam is kind of bulky.
No, you expect it to be kind of frothy, if you will.
Definitely not fitted.
No, but where the shoulder line hits makes me think that it's somebody else's shirt. Maybe that's the intention. But maybe that's how shirts were cut back then. I am not an expert on costuming. I like his kilt. I'm assuming it's like one of the hunting kilts.
Pattern.
The hunting patterns were always like more
muted.
More muted and earth tones.
We can all see he's standing in the middle of a ton of hay near a wheel, not a wheelbarrow, a cart or something.
Like a hay.
Hay cart, maybe.
Hay cart.
And on this one, I don't know if you can tell. Yeah, you can see the back of the plaid is longer. We don't see his feet.
I'm assuming that's the part that generally goes over his shoulder.
Exactly.
Nice belt.
The belt's very nice. The plaid is nice. Plaid plaid. The shirt is nice. It looks grungy, which
it's
I like.
Supposed to, I think.
I know. So it looks grungy. He does not look clean.
No, he looks like he's been working.
Exactly.
But there has been some controversy about his hair.
Okay, yes.
I think I read somebody saying it didn't look red enough or it was too dark. And I'm like, you guys, it's an overcast day. I had red hair for like 5 years.
But
varying shades of red hair. And I had vibrantly red hair.
Yes,
but what I will say about my vibrantly red hair is that in an office setting in fluorescent lighting, it looked brown. Mm. So the quality of light
is important.
It's very important. And this looks very overcast, and it almost looks like they could even have a filter on it, which could mute the
but
red.
You're right. It's extremely, very overcast.
Yeah. I think any controversy is premature. I think that
well,
we
now
should just
we
be
understand.
Satisfied to have seen him in a skirt and wait for more and for the series.
Color aside, I think we now know why he had his hair under a cap.
Isn't it a toque?
Oh, that I don't know. But it was like, because it looked kind of, looked like it was almost stuffed, didn't it? I mean, it looked bigger than his head. But now you know he's got all that hair.
It looked very warm and cozy, to be
honest.
It
did look warm. He probably needed it. But yeah, it was to hide all of his luscious locks. I did read Diana's tweet, but only after I saw someone else mention something about it. And that was, where in time is this shot supposedly supposed to be?
I don't know where it's supposed to be. I mean, it could be any number of places.
I understand, but I'm asking, do you remember what Diana tweeted?
No.
Okay. Diana tweeted that, I do not know if she said it was for sure, but I'm pretty sure, I know what she tweeted, and that was, she said she suspected it was probably from, definitely at Lallybroch, which makes sense, because this does not look like a castle surroundings. This is not a stable yard. This is hay yard somewhere. So definitely Lallybroch makes sense. But she said it was probably sometime at Lallybroch and he's looking toward the house or the area or the road, I guess the road, after someone has yelled like a warning about redcoats. Something like that. That's what she was postulating.
Was she like guesstimating or does she know?
Well, she may very well know. I don't know if they've told her.
I don't think she looks at rushes every day.
Probably not. But that was what she said, is all I'm saying.
But with the hair length as well, it would make me think that it was not pre...
the injury?
Yeah.
Pre-Abby? Well,
that to me looks more like a grow out, because they were all wearing, conventionally, yes, they're all wearing long hair, like long hair.
You're right. And because we can't talk about too much of that whole thing you just mentioned, because we haven't gotten there in the book yet. But I agree. It's difficult to place him based on hair.
Right.
And actually, which kind of, whenever we're ready, kind of goes into the discussion of the chapter 7, because in that chapter, he talks about his hair. And so does Claire.
He's just as interested in his hair as we are.
But is there anything else that we would like to say? I mean, we could spend a lot of time on this image. But oh, well, let me ask you this. We have previously said what we expect, or how we expect to watch the series. Does this picture change your plans or strengthen your plans?
I mean, ideally, I still would like to watch it by myself.
Yes, but first or second? Probably first.
First or second what?
The first or second time you see it.
Oh, probably the first time I'd like to watch it by myself.
I think I agree. And we've talked about it. We haven't said in the sand.
Want my first experience of the show to be uninterrupted.
Yes, I agree.
And I say that with love.
I feel that love.
Because you have a tendency to talk
ask questions.
And ask questions.
Mostly ask questions.
And you don't just cry quietly. I don't think that you would quietly cry if something moved you. I think that you would want to talk about it.
I will sit next to you and have tears for days and not make a whimper. But yes, I will ask questions.
Yeah, so.
But I'm a quiet crier. Don't be giving that out.
Isn't that hard to say?
Quiet crier?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of.
Couldn't say it right the first time. So yeah, I want to be able to experience my full range of emotions watching it without editing myself for company. And even though it's you, I would still feel like it's company.
Yeah.
Then I feel like I need to
brave
front it and not be emotive.
You still have the same feeling. Has the image strengthened that due to your reaction?
No, No, what strengthened it was your reaction to it. The fact that you came screaming into the living room.
Okay, that's very fair. So, for my part, we've already discussed my reaction. And for my part, my reaction also strengthened my resolve to want to watch this alone. Not because I don't want to ask questions or not because I don't want to share it with someone. But because, seriously, if I'm going to have that type of reaction to just seeing a stinking still image, I'm going to be a mess. I mean, maybe not with Frank and Claire. I might get teary just to see them because it's the whole production, the whole book, the whole story.
Stars, I would like to thank you.
Oh, no.
For strengthening her resolve to follow through on what I really wanted, which was to watch it by myself.
That is not nice. Stars, we both really, really like you and appreciate everything. But Summer, that was not nice. So, is there anything else about the image? We didn't say what Stars said. What was the text that Stars said? And if you want to find it, find it. Otherwise, we can kind of paraphrase. That, even before we saw the image, when I read what Stars tweeted to accompany it, that had my eyes tearing up. I was like, really? Dude, no.
They called us like the best fans in the world.
In the world, which we know. But not the two of us, the whole community.
No, just us.
No, just it was no. Personal. No. Although we do love you, Stars. Okay, so
it says, for the best fans in the world.
Stop. In caps. In all caps.
Sorry. For the best fans in the world!
I was not asking you to yell it. I was just trying to tell them it's all in caps.
It's all caps. You're supposed to scream it. No. That's the rule, isn't it?
That was like an old codger scream. I don't even know what kind of
Maybe that's how I think Stars screams.
Oh, Stars.
Sorry.
No.
Sorry,
okay,
Stars.
Go ahead. Say it again.
I'm not going to scream it again.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's what your wee hearts have desired. James Alexander Malcolm Mackenzie Fraser. And then...
And I don't even know... I don't know if I squealed just at that. I know I teared up at the words, but I don't think I squealed at that. But good lordy. Yes. Stars, so pretty much... Let's just put it this way. On the east... On the east coast. On the Pacific coast.
Wow.
On the west coast. I promise I'm not drunk. On the West Coast, it was...
6:55 p.m.
Okay. So let's say about 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock here on the West Coast, just before 7 p.m., we get the bomb of all bombs. We get the pick of all picks. And let's just say, yes, the internet did break a few times, probably. We survived. But stars, this image, I can only speak for me, but I know tons of other fans were doing this as well. You basically, and I'm saying this with love... You basically kept me up till 1 a.m. My choice, obviously.
Something. I think I went to bed at like 10 last night. Oh, maybe. 10 or 10:30.
So basically, I guess I kept the home fires burning because it was me. Anyway,
Nine times out of ten, if you're on Twitter and you're talking to Outlander Pod, it's probably Ginger.
It probably is. So
if it's in French, it's Ginger. If it's in German, it's Ginger. If it's linked to Facebook, it's probably Summer.
Yes. Summer does a lot. I do some Facebook, depending on the time, our schedules. She does a lot of the Facebook, which obviously cross posts. And then...
It's the only way I can post on Twitter, y'all.
Yeah, y'all. And then we agree on the blogging stuff, the episodes and everything, but I usually snap those up. So anyway, I guess that concludes... The photo of all photos?
I guess that's our announcements. No. Now on to the read-along. This chapter is like quintessential Diana Gabaldon to me because she is so specific in her research and it all goes into the book. Like, all of it. She doesn't hold... I mean, she may hold back some stuff, and if she does, good Lord, I don't want to see her notes. Because
her notes would be fun to see.
I think that most of her historical research... ends up in the book.
I'm sure a lot of it does. So this chapter was called Davy Beaton's Closet. And I'm going to refer to it as Claire's Closet.
Now, they did show a mock-up, like a 3D model of Claire's...
Of the closet, of the surgery. Right.
And the 3D model is a lot bigger...
Than what they make
than
it.
What,
it
than
seems
what
to be.
Than is described. Like, this description in this... In the book... gives the impression that there's not a lot of room to move around in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that she didn't have a place for anyone to sit.
And it was very dark. It was, very, very
so,
little light.
That'll be interesting to see. I mean, I don't know if they've just made it bigger so they can move a camera around in it.
Yeah.
Inside of the space or what if it just plays better with a little bit of a larger space. But we'll have to wait and see. But
so the chapter starts out with her discussing, Claire, discussing with Colum. About her being a healer or her having some talent as a healer. And what's the question that he asks her? Are you a charmer, a Beaton? And that's the first time
I thought you were
that
talking
we...
about being a Beaton, and I was like,
No.
They
Beaton...
were just really bad doctors.
Well, they were bad, but he... see, that's funny. They were bad doctors, yet he says they were known all over the Highlands for being good healers. So there you go. She talks about... Claire's words, I believe, that... She talks about her efficient treatment of the young man Jamie's injuries. And I don't know why that makes me laugh. She's calling him the young man Jamie. Because knowing that we know where this book leads, to hear her call him the young man Jamie, it's like they're still not, you know, they're not close. They're not.
Which further emphasizes the point of why I was so confused.
Yes, that's true, young
because
Jamie,
she
young
kept,
Jamie.
Everyone kept calling him young Jamie. So in my head, he was like this teenager. So until they get to further in the book and they actually say that he's in his 20s, I was like, when are we going to meet Jamie?
Claire also, I think they had this conversation when Claire enters Colum's office. And I made a note. I read Diana describes the birds quite nicely and how he feeds them and is petting them. And I thought, last episode, I think I mentioned how having birds inside was maybe his attempt to bring beauty inside, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever. But I thought, tonight I had a little more sinister thought, and I don't know if this was meant at all, but I thought, oh my goodness, what if because of his lameness or because of his illness, because of his situation, he thought by bringing in something beautiful and by locking it up, by being able to control beauty, it was a little bit of something for him, because he was something, even though he was fair of face, I believe, he was not a, he would not have been called a beauty because of his affliction. Great leader though he was, maybe his having these beautiful birds in a cage, inside, outside of their natural habitat, was his way of, yes, on one end, bringing beauty inside so he didn't have to go out and maybe be exposed to people and their eyes and their thoughts and their words, but also to cage beauty. He may have felt caged, but maybe he felt robbed by his affliction, robbed by God, robbed by nature. Maybe that's too far into it.
Maybe it's not that sinister. Maybe it's just he feels a kinship with the birds that are trapped, who are meant to fly and can't, and are kept in this, are locked in this cage.
I don't know what's better.
Whereas he was meant to lead his people.
That's true.
And he's locked in his body.
And he asks her, or says to her, oh, this made me laugh, he says. So, saying as how you've not got a great deal to occupy your time at present, I thought, really, Colum, I wonder why that would be. You only kidnapped her and are keeping her hostage. What else would she have to do? Then he offers to show her Davy Beaton, their previous healer, his to his closet, his room where his supplies were, where his, I guess, his surgery was. And Claire was describing the location of the surgery, and it's along the walls of the castle. And she says, the surgery is close to
the cemetery.
Nothing except the graveyard. I thought, oh, that's not good.
It's not, but it's appropriate for
as soon as they die, you just dump them out. Oh, yeah.
Because apparently a lot of his patients didn't do too well.
No, he was not the best beaten.
No.
He was not the beaten. That beaten was not a best, the best beaten. And I
thought, they really got the short stick on the beans.
Must have. Colum leaves. And then what happens? She realizes that this is the first time that she's really had time alone without being watched. There are people around her, probably outside the doors, but this is her first time alone.
I mean, in so far as alone that she's going to be inside.
Exactly. Well, yes, but in four walls or however many walls.
Well, there was no one directly in the room with her. She's just as alone in that room as she is in her bedchambers, though.
That's true. But she remarks on this being, having this alone time, and she realizes that she actually does remember some things that occurred, that happened as she went through the stones. And this is, up until now, besides the screaming stones, this is the best description we have till now. She says she felt a physical struggle as if against a current. She said there were images. She did see images. She couldn't really describe them, but she said there were some form of images. She also mentioned that it was like fighting towards something or to get to a surface. She also says, had she chosen to come to that time, the time that she was in, because that time was some kind of haven, but all of the things that she remembered and thought of at that time during her alone time in the closet, in the surgery, she's even more resolved that she has to get back to the stones. That's what comes of that. Besides the reader seeing a little more into what she experienced as she traveled through the stones, she resolves still and again to go back to the stones. And then what does she do again that she did last week or last episode?
Well, she decided that she needed to go feed Jamie.
She takes a picnic down to Jamie. Absolutely. Yet again. And then they have a nice chat. And what does she and Jamie chat about?
Basically, it goes back to the last conversation they had when he said he was eating grass.
Yeah.
And she basically asks him, why were you out eating grass? In other words, in so many words. And he basically admits that he's an outlaw.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, not quite so much as a highwayman, but a bit more than a pickpocket.
Yeah, so he's very practical about how much he's worth. 10 pounds. And he's, when then Claire asks him, oh, well, what did you do? Or something to that effect. And he's very matter of fact. He's like, oh, murder.
Well, she assumed that he had 10 pounds on his head for obstruction.
Yes, she did say
obstruction. Which was the thing he had told her about previously, but in fact, the price on his head was for murder and not for obstruction. But he was accused of murdering someone that he couldn't possibly have murdered, so it's just a trumped up charge anyway, so.
Yes, and he does not describe in detail, but he tells her how he was able to escape from Fort William with the help of friends. And after he was healed enough to be able to walk, basically, and hold on to a horse after his second flogging. And this is where the hair comes in. She talks about his hair. What does she say about his hair?
She says, "Why do you wear your hair cropped?" she asked suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
Such a girl. Just randomly changing the subject to something which she assumes will be much more.
She describes it like it's standing up on its end like porcupine quills.
Did you just say porcupine?
Porcupine?
You said porcupine.
Oh, porcupine.
But I think it's funny that it felt like she was trying to change the subject to something more neutral.
Yeah.
And it led to something much more sinister.
Yeah, much more kind of.
He's like, "Oh yeah, I cut my hair because I had this gaping head wound and they had to cut it to heal me."
Which leads Claire, the healer, the trained army combat nurse, to thinking about the type of wound it is or the type of scar and how it healed and the shape of it and everything. And Jamie says after his injury, he was blind for a month. So old Alec comes out and he and Jamie eventually start speaking in Gaelic.
Yeah, because they were speaking in Gaelic when she fell asleep. And she says, "It may have been the chill from a passing cloud or the changed tone of the men's conversation that woke me sometime later. The talk had switched back to English and the tone was serious." And that's so.
Okay.
Because they were speaking English and now she was invested and interested in what they were saying. So she pretended to still be asleep.
And so she hears Alec mention a gathering and he asks Jamie, "What will you do?" Jamie says he doesn't know, but he says he will not kiss the iron and change his name to Mackenzie.
He hasn't made up his mind.
Exactly.
Yet.
And he says, "Do I kiss the iron and change my name to Mackenzie and forswear all I've been born to?" Which gives us the reader the insight that he was born to something, which means in this time, most likely land, which is probably a title. That's a little insight there. Also, the fact that he mentions changing his name to Mackenzie means that he's truly not a Mackenzie, or at least not
in name. So what we know right now is that he's not a McTavish.
We're pretty sure he's not a McTavish because there was some question about that.
Right.
We know he's not a Mackenzie, at least because he is
contemplating taking
the name. Exactly. So then Alec goes on about how Jamie is stubborn like his dad and that he at times looks like him as well. He does not come out and say it, but when Jamie asks old Alec, "Oh, so you knew him," that's past tense. It gives us the idea that he's most likely passed on.
It could mean that he's passed on, or it could mean that
he's no longer here.
He's no longer present in this
at the
place.
Castle.
Like you knew him when he was here.
Yes. Old Alec refers to Jamie's dad as Black Brian, and Colin would have said he was the devil himself.
Right.
But that his mom was like the Virgin Mary. And then he said, "Look, boy, think about if you got into the fight and you were able to fight on the side of the Stuarts, imagine what could happen if you won. You would get your land back and much more, or possibly much more. And he's good with horses. And if he didn't win, he said he could always have a place here at the castle. He's good with horses. He mentions also that he could have his pick of the ladies and that the ladies were really interested in him. And he mentions Lyra. And he says, "You don't do something like that and stand up for someone that you don't care for." And Jamie's like, "I felt sorry for her." "I felt sorry for her. And I knew I could take it more easily and survive it more easily than she could." So all this time, Claire is still faking sleep.
But I think that once he starts talking about Lyra, she's like, "Enough of this. I don't want to hear them talk about this girl anymore. I'm going to wake up."
Yeah, she...
Well, that, and then he also makes mention to all of the ladies being after him, even the Sassenach wench.
So then, because I think it was the turn of the conversation, before Alec had gotten there and it was just Jamie and Claire, Jamie was in no hurry to go anywhere. But since old Alec was there and now she was awake,
now
he basically dismisses her.
Well, no, he suspects she heard all of that at that point.
Yes.
Because of the timeliness of when she wakes
and
up.
And he's avoiding her eyes.
So he's like,
and
I'm gonna take off now.
Yeah.
I got someplace I need to be.
Old Alec offers to show Claire about some horses. Claire says yes. But then after that, old Alec is like, "Okay, well, great. You can come back and hang out as long as you don't bother the horses, etc." And she's like, "Thank you. I'll do that. But then she turns to Jamie and says, I wanted to look at his shoulder. And because old Alec was there, he's like, no, not right now. I'll see you later in the surgery, or I'll come find you later. Now she truly is dismissed. So she walks away. I spoke too soon earlier. This is where she remembers the shape of the wound in his head and thinks about the type of
weapon
it may have been. She said it.
She said it did not make.
It was not a
straight line, yes. Which would have been made by an English broadsword.
It was a curved weapon.
Correct, like
a Lukhavir ox or something.
Yeah,
not an ox, an axe. Sorry. And I looked it up.
British.
I said
the ox.
No, I didn't go British. I went animal. Basically, it was a weapon employed by the Scottish Highlanders. It was very heavy. It was for defense against cavalry. Not, I have to say, pet peeve of mine, cavalry, not calvary. Two completely different, something like that. Two completely different things. One's horses, one ain't. And then had a pike on it, which was used against infantry. So it depended on, you could use it in two different ways. Claire notes that Jamie had remarkably confided so much to her for being such a stranger.
Agreed that they are strangers to a degree, but I think that she knows more about him than a lot of... He's already shared his deepest, darkest.
And he knows that she's shattered by whatever has happened to her. He held her and comforted her and got kind of turned on by her. And, you know, so they have had an intimate moment. I'm sorry, they have.
They have an intimacy between them.
Yes.
That they've forged.
She returns to the office, to her cubicle, to her closet. And now she's doing her more detailed inventory.
Correct. Detailed inventory of...
Mouse parts, animal poop.
Animal parts.
And as she's going through these things, she finds something like, oh, these beautiful pills that are perfectly shaped. Like, man, Davy Beaton was talented. And this is what... And this was the line. Claire fingers a slatter. And then she looks at the label and she realizes it was wood lice.
But
I know. Gar. Bull. And then she throws it back.
Which is funny because when they first described it, I was thinking like pill bugs. That's what I imagined a slatter was until she said specifically that it was wood lice.
Yeah, me too. After she goes through the different medicines and the drawers, she goes through the closet. And she's almost overcome with what? The stank. Davy Beaton did not clean his instruments. They were covered in lots of doodad.
Are you talking about the chest?
Yes, okay. The chest.
Yeah, pretty gross.
Pretty nastified. So he apparently, yeah, did not practice. And this is the 18th century, so we know I guess germ theory has not been introduced.
They don't know about germs yet.
That's what I'm saying. Germ theory has not been introduced or discovered or hypothesized. So she basically decides she's going to have these instruments washed and then given to the castle carpenter if one exists. And then she's open for business because her first patient appears. It's a man being supported by somebody else, and no. The guy has a bloody foot. She's like, finally something I can handle. A lot easier to handle this person.
Well, I like her statement that she made earlier in the chapter about how remarkably many of his patients actually survived his treatment.
Yes.
In spite of his help.
Yes, exactly.
So they're awful, like some of the things. And I think that a lot of times the things that kills these people is the treatments.
The treatment.
Like,
what was the one?
The one girl, she like pricked her thumb on like a spinning wheel. Like the needle on a spinning wheel. I'm assuming it had to be more than just like pricking your finger. It would have to have been like maybe a gouge or something like that.
A little more than Sleeping Beauty.
Right. But it was just her thumb.
And then she dies.
Well, if you put like...
Oh my goodness.
A lot of his treatments included like horse poop. So, I mean, I don't think...
Horse poop, sheep poop, mouse ears, wood lice.
If I had to choose an animal's poop, I would pick horse poop. All right. So next week, we are doing chapter 8. And that is titled An Evening's Entertainment. That's probably about all we have time for this week on episode 9 of the Outlander podcast.
As always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our audioboom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/outlanderpod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at Outlander Pod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpod or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.
outlander.com. My young